A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
The ups and downs of a football player and coach. And I'm with David Mitchell, former Chelsea, Rangers and Millwall striker. Played for Selangor here in Southeast Asia and also a prominent coach with teams like Perth Glory in the A-League and Kedah in Malaysia. Dave, good to see you here on Money FM. I know that your career was varied in many different twists and turns, but when you look back now at the age of 56, what do you say?
Yeah, no, look, Jace, it was a great career, you know. What people used to say is they found out how bad I was and they moved me on, you know. That's why I had so many clubs.
More clubs than Jack Nicklaus, isn't that what they said?
Yeah, that's right. But no, look, for me, I grew up in Australia. I always wanted to be a professional player. And, you know, I reached at a very early age playing for the Socceroos, which I was 18.
And we should point out, you were born in Scotland. You went to Australia at the age of 6 or 7. You were an immigrant in Adelaide, and then you ended up playing for Australia.
That's correct. And then my dad was a big Rangers follower, supported them and wrote a letter to Rangers asking me for a trial. And they wrote back because he knew the assistant manager. And they said, look, if Dave could make his own way here, we'll reimburse him, you know. So... But, excuse me, the problem was in those days that when your contract finished, you weren't a free player. So I was playing for Sydney City in Sydney, and my contract, I was actually bought for $35,000, which was Australian record at the time.
Yeah, which a lot of money back then.
A lot of money back then. And then Frank Lowe, he said, well, if you pay that out, then I'll let you go for free. So it was every cent I had between my father and myself. We paid it, and... I went overseas, but, you know, some of the things that you go on the way, I couldn't afford a ticket back to Scotland there.
Yeah, so we should point out that, you know, you were an exciting young player. You'd represented Australia, and here you are playing in the Australian competition. You know, you were originally from Glasgow, and you get the chance for a trial with Glasgow Rangers, which is one of the biggest clubs in Europe and, of course, a massive club in Scotland. And you're buying out your own contract so you can get freedom, and then you're having to scramble away to get to Europe, and you actually ended up going on someone else's air ticket, which would never happen today. So how did that happen?
You couldn't get away with it. So what happened is that someone used to put an advert in the paper. It was what they call English used to come out in Australia, and they'd have a return ticket, and they would stay in Australia and jump ship more or less and stay in Australia. And what happened is, but there was hurdles to jump, but he had to come to the airport with you. He had to submit the passport with the bags, my bags. Mm. So he'd put them on there, he'd show them the passport, get the ticket, and then I'd go through with the ticket. So they wouldn't check both at the other time. You would never get away with it now.
Different era, wasn't it? Like it was 1983, right?
That's right. And then I had to take the passport with me in case anything happened, obviously, because it was the ticket was on that. Mm. And, of course, I think it was Thai Airways we were flying with, and we went into Thailand, and the plane changed, and lucky I knew someone. Anyway, long story short, we had to re-board the plane, and I was sort of sweating buckets. But anyway, I made it, and, you know, I had a successful career there, but I was lucky I made it, and I had the chance, but I bought my own self, and I begged myself. So.
Yeah, I mean, that was an incredible story, and, you know, to play for Glasgow Rangers, being, you know, your family from Glasgow, and, you know, playing an Old Firm derby against Celtic with the cross-city rivals. And that really launched your European career. And it saw you became the first Australian to play in the Bundesliga for Eintracht Frankfurt. You played for Feyenoord in the Netherlands. You know, went to England. You played with Chelsea, Millwall, Swindon. You played in a Wembley final, you know, for the Premier League promotion. And you won that as well. And yet you travelled other places. You played in Turkey. But when you look back at some of the happy times for you, I mean, guess playing in Germany must have been an incredible experience because it's a different era, wasn't it, when there were very few foreign players, let alone Australian players?
Absolutely, Jason. At the time, there was only two foreigners allowed in Germany at each club, so I was one of the foreigners there. So to get that was quite difficult. And, you know, so they must have thought I was not a bad player. So anyway, I was there, and it was like walking into the future going to Germany. You know, everything was done professionally. Everything was done for you. The diet, the way they looked after you, the food they told you to have. And, you know, you look back at why Germany's been so successful. You know, they look at you know, the vitamins, you had your VO2, they tested everything. You know, they take blood samples when you did runs, and they analysed it so they could actually take your lactic acid, what was in there.
And this is mid-80s, isn't it? We should point out that Lothar Matthäus was someone that you played against. Lots of famous players, Rudi Völler as well, I think.
Andreas Müller was my room partner because he was the only one who could speak English, and he was the youngest in the team at the time.
And all these big names. All these big names. So this was, you know, a great breakthrough. You're playing at Eintracht Frankfurt. Then you go to Feyenoord in the Netherlands. And you were learning so much, I guess. You know, you're a pioneer for your country. And it was at a time when there weren't many Australian players playing in Europe. And that's, of course, Fandi Ahmad from Singapore was in Europe around the same time.
That's right. And that's why, you know, Fandi, he to get better, he left these shores, you know, yeah. And he was a star over in Europe and come back even a bigger star.
Mm.
You know, and it came to a point in Australia where you get into your comfort zone, you're the best you can be there. And if you don't leave at a certain point or you don't get the opportunity, fortunately for me, I made my own opportunity happen.
Mm.
And I was lucky to do that. And then, obviously, so I stayed there for 14 years. Had my children born in Holland and England, mm-hmm. and had a fantastic career. And, you know, everywhere people say, where was the best place? But everyone has a special moment. In Germany,
mm-hmm.
It was a special moment when I was there playing in the Bundesliga. And then in Holland, I had my first child. And then in Chelsea was probably my worst period. But that was also ramifications by playing for Australia in the Olympics.
Yeah, 98 Olympics you played, I should point out. You were an Olympian then. And you know the time in Chelsea. Let's talk about that because at that time you were at Feyenoord in Netherlands, and you got the move to Chelsea. And we should point out that Chelsea in 1987-88 wasn't the Chelsea of today, was it?
That's right. That's before Abramovich came along, and you know they were still a big club in their own right. But you know Arsenal and Tottenham were bigger at the time. But you know I just played for Feyenoord. We played PSV Eindhoven. I'd scored two goals. They were the European Cup holders at the time.
Mm.
The Dutch team were the masters of Europe at the time. They were European Championships as well. So I was coming from a league that was a good league, good standard, and good players coming from it. And then when I went to Chelsea, I wasn't really fit. I was injured. It took me a long time to get going, and then it just went downhill. And it was a sort of poor period for my career, and sort of did a lot of damage to me, really, to regain that. But lucky enough, Glenn Hoddle came to the club and resurrected it through an injury that he had and I had, and we used to play together.
Mm.
And then, you know, I went to Swindon with him and subsequently got promoted to the
Premier League
with Swindon at Wembley. We beat Leicester.
Yeah, Glenn Hoddle, a great player, of course, you know, for Chelsea, Tottenham. He played for England. He was the England manager in the 1990s. And he saw something in Dave Mitchell, former Chelsea and Rangers Millwall striker, who's our guest today. He saw something in you and he brought you to Swindon, which is a small club in the west of England. And he brought you there and then you're playing in a promotion cup final at Wembley. What's that like?
That was fantastic. It was unbelievable. You know, one of the greatest days of your career, you know. And that was just right at the dawn of when the Premier League was starting. And it was, you know, the problem with the club didn't have. They didn't know whether to give you a contract for the Premier League or a contract for the Championship because the playoffs were just a new thing that happened. And unfortunately, when we won the competition and we got promoted, Glenn left, I left, Colin Calderwood left, all the best players left because they couldn't guarantee them a contract the year before. And, of course, everyone else was coming in stealing you and offering you big money beforehand because all the people that did well had been tapped up.
Yeah, so you ended up not actually playing in the Premier League, even though the club got promoted. And soon after that, you found yourself here in Southeast Asia playing for Selangor, winning the 1995 Malaysia Cup, scoring the golden goal in the final when golden goals were the difference between winning and losing. What was that like playing in Southeast Asia? Of course, the previous year, Singapore had won the Malaysia Cup 1994.
Well, the fact that I'd been with Australian youth teams, I'd been up here in Asia, I'd played in the Merlin Cup here in Singapore when we beat South Korea and scored. So I knew the environment I was coming to, but I wasn't too sure of the league. But you know, I had a couple of people tell me that the league was fantastic and that the crowd was fantastic. And you have to really see it to believe the Selangor fans. And I certainly know the Singapore fans, when they used to rival each other, was a great rivalry.
They still
rivalry.
Have that rivalry. They still have an annual game between Selangor and Singapore.
Yeah, and that can compete with anything in Europe, you know, as in passion-wise. They really have passion for their teams and the country. So, yeah, that was great. And then to play in 93,000, I think it was, and when we score in the winner. So everyone said, well, it was worth all that money they paid for, because they paid a big chunk of money to get me over there from a professional club in Europe.
Yeah, Shah Alam Stadium was where it happened. You scored the winner and you became a Malaysia Cup champion. And that was towards the end of your career. Then you kind of transitioned into coaching. You went back to your native Australia, went very close to getting the Australian national team job, but didn't get it in the end. But you still were able to get a good, strong coaching career. We saw you in the A-League a few years ago with Perth Glory. Making the transition from player to coach, how difficult was it?
Yeah, well, when I first went back, I started playing as a centre-half, more as a sweeper, really, when I went back there with Dave Ratcliffe. But anyway, what happened is that he got sacked, and then they asked me to take over, you know. And, you know, I had some of my badges, but I hadn't completed them. But anyway, I went and coached. Then the next year, I went to Sydney United and did really well, recruited a lot. I had Laurie McKenna, who came as my assistant, yep. who's now the CEO of Newcastle in Sydney.
Mm-hmm. In Australia, yeah.
In Australia. So in that, we did really well, and we came third in the league, and that was a fantastic effort because the team had been decimated with all the players. And then the following year, we actually won the league. So, you know, we became champions of Australia.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And that's, yeah.
And that really, I guess, got your career going, you know, in coaching. And then we fast forward, you know, a decade or so, and you're coaching Perth Glory in the A-League. So football in Australia has changed a lot. It's become a lot more professional, maybe a little bit more sterile, but, you know, it's a different beast. What about coaching in the A-League with Perth Glory?
Yeah, well, coaching the A-League, I mean, when I went to Perth, I went there with Ron Smith, who was the former AIS technical director.
And he actually coached here in Southeast Asia with Pahang for a short time, I believe.
That's right. And he also was at Sabah when he won the league with Sabah.
Ah, correct.
As well in Malaysia. Yeah, Ron was a fantastic guy. So we went there together, and Perth in old NSL were one of the top teams in the league. But when the A-League started, all the best players, instead of going to Perth because they had the best crowd and they had the most money and they had always at the top of the league, wanted to stay in Melbourne or Sydney, excuse me. So it became difficult to get the best players going to Perth.
Yeah.
So then subsequently the team was lying at the bottom of the league all the time.
Yeah.
So when I did take over, I said, look, I'll get you in the top five, but you have to spend a bit of money and the infrastructure has to be better because all the other teams in the East have actually progressed much better than
Perth.
Than you have.
Yeah.
So to be fair to Tony Sage, he did that and we put a bit of money and I could sign Robbie Fowler.
Yep, former Liverpool striker, yep, yeah.
And I could sign a lot of good players within Australia. And we did that. And then in that, we got to the playoffs, and that was the first time we'd achieved that.
Yeah, so you did well to turn around a losing team into a winning team at Perth Glory. And then you came back to Southeast Asia. You didn't coach in Singapore, but you were in Malaysia with Kedah. And that was a bit of a tumultuous time for you, and you ended up not being there that long. What happened?
Yeah, look, was looking forward to going to Kedah. They were in the second division at the time, and they're a traditional big club. I remember playing against them with Selangor and the big crowds we used to get. And they were in the second division, and they wanted to get out, so they employed me for that. So we had a few problems in getting a couple of players from Australia, and there was one or two players that ended up couldn't sign or did sign, and the player couldn't actually sign with us.
Technical reasons. Transfer
and,
problems.
Yeah, and all that sort of scenario. So that became a big problem and we couldn't solve it. So other players that could come in, we couldn't sign them because this other player had signed and there was legal ramifications. So, but we were doing okay. We were, I think, fourth in the league at the time. And then they wanted to make a decision and change. And I think it was more or less because what had happened with the players we couldn't sign and we tried to re-sign them and we couldn't do it. And that wasn't my fault. You know, it was probably a miscommunication at some point where we weren't getting told we couldn't sign players from Australia.
Yeah, so it wasn't going too badly, but you were a bit shocked and you were sacked even though you had a valid contract. And the backstory from this was you went to FIFA and you won your case.
That's right. Unfortunately, in Southeast Asia, it happens a lot when coaches get dismissed or they get rested and we're going to rest them and you've got to come in and work in the office from 9 to 5. You know, all these things.
Yeah, they use different ploys, don't they, where they say we're going to rest you. I mean, R-E-S-T, not A-rest.
Yep.
And then they're trying to get rid of you, make sure you walk out.
And they try and do that to save the club some money and all that. But let's be upfront. I think if they went and talked to a coach, they said, listen, it hasn't worked out for whatever the reason, let's do a negotiation and pay half the contract you've got. Because ultimately, in the end, if you go through FIFA and they look at the contracts and if everything's been done right, they have to pay the full amount that they owe you. So by being up front and saying, listen, things haven't worked, we'll pay half the wages or whatever, or whatever you negotiate, and you could be all, and the club gets a better name then because instead of getting dragged through FIFA, and then also from that, you know, there's rumours start to come out that, they weren't happy with this and that and the other, which wasn't good and I didn't like that.
So you went to FIFA and you fought your case.
Went to FIFA, fought my case, and one hands down. So unfortunately, for the club, they had to pay myself, and then it happened again. They had to pay someone else, another player. So it happened two or three times.
A player or a coach?
There was two players that had to pay as well. So that costs the club a lot of money and the state's a lot of money. Whoever's paying for it, or the fans ultimately.
Mm.
But that's just that organisation. And I know the organisation's starting to get better now. They've got professional people looking at sort of unions to help save the clubs and save players and negotiate things properly and have proper managers there.
So you got your money. Now you're working as a consultant. You're here in Asia, you know, looking for opportunities for Australia's A-League. When you look back on your journey in football, what would you say? 56, almost 57 years old now. Ups and downs brought a smile to your face, or has it brought heartbreak?
Yeah, no, look, there's been ups and downs, obviously, you know, and, you know, people say, I don't have any regrets. Yeah, there's a couple of regrets I've had in my career that you would say, right, okay, maybe I shouldn't have done that or whatever, but it is what it is at the minute. And, yeah, I've had a fantastic career, brought two kids up and got a lovely wife. So everything's been fantastic. And from a football career, I'm now doing consulting. The thing about football, I've covered so many different areas. I've been a grassroots player. I've been a youth player. I've been an Olympic player. You know, I've been a player at the top level in Europe and then gone to successfully coach. And then I've been a technical director or director of football at Perth. So I've done the full circle in football. So as a consultant, I fit the part actually to help clubs and help people resolve things throughout football.
What a journey he's had, David Mitchell. He played an Old Firm derby for his father's favourite club, Glasgow Rangers, against Celtic. He played in the Olympics in Seoul 1988. Of course, played for Chelsea, first Aussie in the Bundesliga. And as a coach, he's coached in Southeast Asia and Australia. Well done, Dave. It's been quite a journey. And I really appreciate you being our guest here on Money FM.
Well, thanks for the invite, Jason. I really enjoyed it.